I'll say it. Boring agenda last night. Not a lot on there other than, what, two new police officers, a new sergeant, and also a new fire chief, which is good news. That's great stuff.
But we had a fantastic agenda last night. We also had Randy New, who's a local sculpture artist, and the council accepted the donation of a beautiful piece of art that's going to be at Wayside Park. I have to mention that because Randy already texted this morning to say, wow, what a privilege it was to come to our council meeting see efficient government. And we appreciate that plug. So I had to mention that this morning. We ran right through the agenda and talked about some grants that we have coming up for resiliency. It was a great night.
One thing I wanted to talk, we didn't get a chance to talk about this before, but there's a bill that's working its way through Tallahassee that I think you guys maybe are involved in somehow that has to do with the capping of the services that you provide for non-residents through like the water system that you oversee. Is that right?
Yeah, so Senator Doug Broxton reached out to Gulf Breeze. We had recently done a utility study to show the surcharges across the state of Florida. What a surcharge is it's reflective of your utility customers outside the city limits who derive the same benefit as customers inside the city limits from the provision of services. And then also being able to receive those services with a lower cost because of the tax exemption, the governmental borrowing power, versus, say, a private utility that we saw a lot in the 80s and 90s, Andrew, when you had rural areas and you would have a developer come in, you know, pop up a subdivision and put maybe a packaged wastewater treatment plant in.
Right.
And so there was a real move in the late 90s and early 2000s to consolidate those private utilities that were coming at a much higher cost. And municipalities were encouraged to take those over. In return, there's got to be some type of return back to the residents who are providing these services outside their city limits. And so it's typical that there would be a surcharge so that those residents are paying a similar fee to taxes paid inside the city, the difference being that the surcharge goes back into the utility fund. What we had during the global recession in around 2008 is that governments throughout the entire state of Florida raised the surcharge to the maximum amount, which is 25%.
Okay.
That seems high, but it, you know, equates probably less than $10 on each person's bill. The city of Gulf Breeze is different. And what that means is that for many, many years, up until the last 10, our surcharge, what we charged our county customers, was 3%. Back in around 2017, it was raised to 6% because our residents were actually paying more. Our city residents pay a 6%. At that time, a 6% municipal utility service tax. And we have always charged the same. I think one of the reasons for that is because we do have a water board, a Gulf Breeze Regional Water Board. Prior, it went by a different name, but it is comprised of city and non-city residents who provide advisement to the council on policy matters. I think, Andrew, we might be the only one, certainly in the panhandle, that is a municipality with an advisement board that the council appoints people to that board who aren't even city residents.
So
that really has helped us strike a balance. I don't think we've been too good at telling that story in the past. And so there was, I think, in the past, an understanding from county residents that they were actually paying more than city residents when the opposite was true.
I gotcha.
I think Doug Broxton looked at that as a best practice, and now they're looking to see something similar throughout the state of Florida.
Okay, so it won't have much change on you or us, but it is what we're doing, and it's going to be exported to the rest of the state. That's kind of a cool thing. You don't hear that an awful lot, but we'll take that. Also, wanted to talk to you a little bit about something that I've heard about, which is like companies that are into like hotels getting into the vacation rental and property acquisition business. But hang on just a second. We're talking to Sam Abel, city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
All right, we have I-10 westbound, just west of the exit at mile marker 26 in Milton. The roadway is blocked there, so please use caution in that area. Also, we've got our normal slowdown in Gulf Breeze from the construction traffic, also Windhaven eastbound near the Publix. This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. That's 250-3756. If you have any traffic tips, text 437-1620. Sorry, that's a lot of numbers there. Mm-hmm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jacob. Back to Sam Abel. Sam, you and I were talking a little bit off the air, and you're actually working on an opinion piece about this subject of companies acquiring property that would otherwise be available to individual owners, but they're using that as like vacation rentals. And there's other problems that come with that, right?
That's right, Andrew. So I recently attended the International City and County Managers Association conference. I've been going to that conference for over 20 years, and the attendees are thousands of managers throughout this country and abroad. And it's the opportunity for us to get together, share information and case studies, and it's a deluge of info. What really struck me this year is that Florida is awake to an issue that the rest of the country is just now waking up to. And part of that is because of the preemption from the legislature that meant our local communities were not able to outlaw short-term rentals in our neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Well, during the pandemic, our short-term rentals were able to rebound much faster than our hotels. The hotels took notice of that. Now Marriott International, which is the world's largest hotel company, has gotten in on the game, as well as, you know, bookings.com and all these, you know, hundreds of other websites. So that right now, Andrew, if you wanted to go to somewhere in the middle of Florida, let's say you wanted to go to Perry, Florida or Chiefland, Florida, you look for a room, ordinarily, you would find hotels clustered at the interstate. Now you will be able to stay in homes, single family apartments, and you'll be able to add on different experiences. Let's say you want to enjoy someone's orchard. Let's say you want to enjoy somebody's stocked fishing pond.
Kind of like the exotics you see on Airbnb, the unusuals. Okay, that makes sense.
That's right. That's right. So the issue with that is, how do you preserve community, right? And
We're getting some weird feedback off your phone, Sam. You're not on a speakerphone, are you, by chance?
I'm not, no.
Okay, I don't know. Weird. Go ahead. Hopefully it clears up.
Well, I just put it on speaker. Does that help?
Go ahead. We're fine for now.
Okay. So who is prioritizing preserving our neighborhoods? And, you know, just last week I got into a conversation with a longtime resident who was complaining because there are scooters absolutely everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked her, if the city had not prioritized the multi-use path, would we still be seeing those scooters? And her friend said, yes, they're everywhere. Well, why is that? Part of that is the commercializing of short-term rentals within neighborhoods. And so it's an issue that we're seeing nationwide. Florida, with our fast growth, has definitely woken up to that a lot quicker. But it's something that our city and county managers are definitely going to need to wake up to, and hopefully our legislatures will take this up this year.
Oh, that makes sense. Yes, I mean, I see it from Marriott's point of view. You know, just be the competition. Don't compete against the people doing the short-term rentals. But that also puts, you know, sideways pressure against the desire to expand opportunity for people who want, you know, affordable housing, because if the rental market is taking up the housing, that's a challenge. And also, I've seen, when my wife and I are biking around, we see all of these vacation rentals, and every one of them has five or six electric bikes or scooters, you know, in the garage, because they provide that. Well, that creates a certain kind of traffic issue or pedestrian safety issue if all of those people come to town and they're driving those bikes. No, I can see all of that. Wow, interesting. Well, Sam Abel, she is a city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. As always, Sam, thank you for joining us. I always appreciate it. It's very good information. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, Drew.